AFP Audio is today talking to Dr. Michael Fascher, who's a GP at Blacktown and an adjunct or conjoint associate professor at the University of Sydney and the University of Western Sydney. Welcome, Michael.
Good day, Carolyn.
So Michael is the author of The 6-Week Check, An Opportunity for Continuity of Care, which is a focus article in the May 2012 edition of Australian Family Physician. And this focus considers the first few months of life. One of the components of the interaction with the health system in this period has traditionally been the 6-week check. Michael, can you tell us a little about what you feel that you want to achieve as a GP when you meet a baby and their parent for a first 6-week check?
Sure, Carolyn. Look, I think first up, it's crucial that we don't miss significant physical problems that can impact on a child's well-being in the long term if missed early. And for example, congenital cataract would be one of those, as would developmental dysplasia of the hips. I guess what this article is keen to do is put that physical examination in the context of what we now know to be really important for a child's lifelong health and well-being, and that is the social context in which the baby is being nurtured. It's really important that we general practitioners use our skills in exploring the context in which our patients live their lives at the 6-week check.
And so what sort of questions do you find helpful to ask when taking a history at a 6-week check?
Do you know, the phrase I'm happiest with in the article, I think, is the feeling in the room.
Yep.
I think that the astute general practitioner will be sensitive to the way in which the parents, if both are there, relate to one another. Is the father supportive of the mother? How do both relate to the baby? Do the adults appear attentive to the baby's needs and attuned to the baby's signals? And I guess that's true whichever the adults are. It's a grandmother and a mother, the father and the mother. There is to be picked up from the feeling in the room just how well these relationships are going without asking any questions. Now, if you do at some point go on to ask, as I suggest is worth doing, what's this baby, what's Luca like to live with? And if the response is, look, he's terrific, he's a designer baby, then I think the GP can be fairly confident that the social context is working very supportively for this baby. If, on the other hand, the question, any issues are raised by the mother or parents, then it's important to explore the baby's potential contribution to this to these anxieties and to look further into how well the family is functioning.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the other things that sometimes comes up, I find, on history when I ask is that the parents have overheard a comment or a well-meaning relative's made a comment and they've developed a concern about their child that may or may not be true, and so that can be a helpful thing to get out early too.
Yeah, it can indeed. The modern parent who has a brand new baby has probably never lived with a baby before, whereas in most cultures, young people are growing up in extended families surrounded by babies. But in our culture, it is often the case that the parents we're seeing have a brand new baby and they have no experience of how babies behave normally.
Yep. And so after you've taken the history and when examining the child, there are a few different approaches. What's your approach?
Well, I'm a toes-to-top examiner, and so I start off looking, as described in the article, for any abnormality that might suggest a syndrome or any very obvious physical abnormalities. But then as I approach the baby, I'm focused on, does this baby look at me? Does the baby focus on my gaze and indeed move from side to side as I move my head. That's really very important. A young child's inability to hold your gaze in a socially responsive way from any age is a red flag. So then I would proceed with the physical examination, checking for femoral pulses, looking for stable hips, looking for organomegaly in the abdomen, making sure as I approach the chest that there isn't any sign of respiratory distress, which characteristically involves chest recession, and then in a pink baby in no respiratory distress, the other cardiovascular thing I'm interested in is the presence or absence of a systolic murmur. Then I check the mouth to be sure there's no cleft palate and look for the red reflexes to exclude congenital cataract, which you see from time to time, and retinoblastoma, which I'm happy to say I have never found. So then it remains really to check the baby's tone, and the way I do that is by holding the baby up in ventral suspension, and by about 6 weeks you expect the head to be held up in line with the rest of the torso.
Yep.
So at that point the physical examination is complete, and mostly one can say to parents, your baby is perfect. That's a lovely way to end that part of the consultation.
Indeed. And so what are some of the sort of, I'll say if the baby's nearly perfect, what are some of the more common things that you might, minor problems that you might see that are easily allayed in that consultation?
Well, some of these are covered in the practice tips in the article. And, I mean, a common concern is whether the baby has oral thrush. And that's because many babies at this age have white tongues. If you look to the mucous membranes inside the cheeks, if there's no white matter firmly attached to the mucous membranes and the only white patches in the mouth are on the tongue, then you can confidently exclude thrush as a cause of the whiteness on the tongue. Another quite common concern is early closure of the anterior fontanelle. I think that's because lots of nurses in the community and indeed doctors are unaware that the fontanelle can close anywhere between 4 and 26 months. Now, of course, at 6 weeks one would expect it to be open.
Yeah.
I think another nice question that parents often ask is, particularly brown-eyed parents who've got a blue-eyed baby, you wonder how long the blue is going to last. And as I point out there, darker eye colour does develop in some of these babies as melanin is laid down and darkened by exposure to light. The start of this process is usually clear by 6 months and complete by 3 years. So there are a couple of small points that often come up.
Yeah, indeed. And so then what sort of information do you end the consultation with?
Well, the consultation usually ends usually at 6 weeks with either the nurse or myself giving the baby, immunising the baby.
Yep.
And what I really, however one constructs the consultation for these, for this particular family, the end result, I want to feel confident that these parents are walking out of the room feeling more confident and more competent than when they came in. I'm really hyper alert to be sure that neither my body language, tone of voice, or words actually suggest to the parents that I think they're over anxious or in some way idiots. So it is very easy, I think, for us to make vulnerable parents more vulnerable. And it is in the baby's interest that their doctor works to the opposite effect. We really want parents who are feeling a bit inadequate, a bit uncertain, a bit helpless, maybe overwhelmed, to have these feelings recognised and their strengths validated.
So
for me, that's the, if I had to sum up what I think is the outcome of the six-week check, apart from obviously not missing physical signs that are there to be found, that would be the outcome
indeed. That
I would value most.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for talking to us today. There's in the article some resources for both GPs, including a very good hip one, but also for parents that you can perhaps refer them to help them continue their empowerment and with good quality information. So thank you very much for talking.
Carolyn, if I could just, having mentioned the resources, I really want to emphasise that for clinicians who are not used to recognising infant communication, the video that is at the top of the resources list is hugely valuable, and I can't recommend it highly enough. And the online tutorial from the Melbourne Children's Hospital on developmental dysplasia of the hip will have gems in it for even the most experienced clinician, and it is also highly recommended.
Indeed. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for talking to us today.
It's a great pleasure.
Thanks.